Father, we thank you so much for all that you've done for us in Christ Jesus. And as we've been looking at this series, all these words have to do with exactly what you've done for us in Christ Jesus. Great words, great Christian words that we cling to dearly. And we want to make sure we understand exactly what they're communicating. So we just pray that you help us this evening as we consider sanctification, how you've done this great work in us and how we have a little role to play in this as well, in becoming more like Jesus. Help us in this, I pray. Give us wisdom through your word, and as we consider a few different passages this evening, may your truth sink deeply into our hearts. Transform us to be more in the image of your Son. And we ask this, Father, for your glory, not our own. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we will be considering the passage we read out earlier, but there's a few other passages that we want to consider as we think about what does sanctification mean. But before we do this, why is it important to know the meaning of words? It's important to know the meaning of words so we know what we're actually saying. Otherwise, you don't actually, like, understand what words you're saying. So this is part of the reason for why we're doing a Christianese series. We say these words as Christians, and we do kind of understand what they mean, but it is good to understand why the translators, why the Bible uses these types of words, because there's meaning behind them, and if we can grasp that meaning, especially these words that we use a lot as Christians, especially words that consider our salvation, then we can really appreciate what God has done for us in Christ. So the words that we've been looking at, like I was saying, relate to our salvation. Although the meaning can vary throughout the Bible, we're looking specifically at what these words mean in relation to our salvation. So we'll do a brief recap if a couple of you have been at these services. So justification, there was a little simple explanation we had for that one. Does anyone remember that? This isn't rhetorical either. Feel free to answer. Justified, never sinned. So when we trust in Jesus and we're standing before God, and he's our judge, he declares us not guilty, just as if I'd never sinned. Justified. Righteousness. Anyone remember this one? So, it's got a couple of things that... That's right. Yep. Again, through faith in Jesus, we're right in our relationship with sin. So, justification has more of the legal sense. Righteousness has more the relational sense. We're right with God. And because we're right with God, we have right living. So there's that in the New Testament, not just right before God, right relationship, but we also live righteously because of that. Atonement. At-one-ment. And so this is that great imagery of two parties. So there's God, there's us, we're separated by sin. So Jesus, his death was an atoning death. It's reconciling two parties that were separated at bringing at-one, at-one-ment. And so we considered, when we looked at atonement, that Jesus bore the wrath that we deserve. This is what, why was atonement achieved? Why could two parties that were separate be brought together? Because Jesus bore our sin and the wrath that we deserve. And that's quite an important thing, because many people don't want to hear that. But that's what Christ did for us on the cross. That's the atonement. So, tonight we're looking at sanctification. So, just consider this illustration. Let's say I'm a homeless guy, sitting on the side of the street, and the Queen happens to walk past, and she sees me, and for some really random reason she says, okay, I want you in my family. So she adopts me into her family, and I become part of the royal family. Now, if I'm brought into the Queen's family, is it right for me to continue living as a homeless person? Why not? Again, you can answer. Because I've been brought into the royal family. I'm to live now as who I am. I've been brought into this family. I'm not to continue living like a homeless person, because I'm no longer homeless. I'm living in this pretty fancy place. I'm to live out who I am. And so this is linking to a very basic understanding of sanctification. We've been set apart for God. We've been brought into his family. And we're to live out who we are in Jesus. That is, we're to become more like Jesus. Now that we're in God's family, we become more like Jesus. So the broad meaning of sanctification, as it's used throughout the Bible, is setting something apart as sacred for God and for his special purposes. In relation to our salvation, sanctification carries this meaning a bit further. So firstly, it describes our relational status we are brought into through faith in Jesus. Now remember, God is holy. So he is light. In him, the darkness and sin cannot dwell with him or in him. So to have a relationship with God, we too need to be made holy. In 1 Peter 1 verse 16, it says, we are to be holy because God is holy. And if we cast our minds back to the last few weeks, we'll remember that there's nothing holy about us as humans. Our deep inward sin rejects God. We want nothing to do with God. We all have this inward desire to make ourselves number one. We all have this inward desire to follow our own passions and thoughts. And this is offensive to God. And this is to be punished by God. So how can we be holy? Well, as we're looking at the last few words, it's through faith in Jesus' atoning death on the cross that we're justified, we are made righteous, and we're brought into God's family. And therefore, through faith in Jesus, we are set apart for God. We're made holy. So let's look at tonight's passage, if you have your Bibles with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. And we'll just read these verses again. Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So, this passage reminds us, and it's a good reminder for many of us, about what state we're in. What state we're in that separates us from God. This type of living and behaviours, these attitudes in our hearts and in our lives, that separate us from God. And remind us of the need of sanctification. For people to have a relationship with a holy God, something has to be dealt with these things. Now in verses 9 to 10, they remind us how we don't deserve anything from God except his punishment. And that list captures all of us. We may not have done all those things, but none of us can say we haven't done none of those things. As we can see, none of us deserve to be in God's family, and a holy God cannot dwell with sinful people. Now in verse 11, the start of verse 11 reminds us that this may have been our past. For some of us, it could still be our present. But we see this great hinge word that occurs many times in the Bible. A word that moves us from what we were to what we are through faith in Jesus. The word but here. But we were washed. We are cleansed of our sin. We are forgiven. The wrath that we deserve is paid for. We were sanctified. That is, positionally, relationally with God, we're set apart for God. We were justified, were declared not guilty before God. And when it says something, when you see in the Bible something in the name of the Lord Jesus, or like that, and by the Spirit of God, we see when something is declared to be in the name of someone, it refers to faith in the authority, the identity, and the power of the person who the name belongs to. And we see as well it's connected with God working through his Spirit. If you still have your Bibles with you, just flick over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 2. Paul had opened this letter with a wonderful declaration about the Corinthian church. To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now remember, as we just read, this church had all types of crazy going on. This wasn't a church that was living holy lives. They were actually taking pride in their liberal way of living. But Paul reminds them, in the opening of this letter, of their status before God through faith in Jesus. They have been made holy. They have been set apart for God through faith in Jesus Christ for his special purposes. Is this making sense? Being set apart as holy for God. Now to be clear, this doesn't mean that we're made perfect. For as we know, we put our faith in Christ and yet we continue to sin. However, this is what it means. We're made holy in the relational sense. God sees us as holy through his Son who we put our faith in. Jesus Christ who died in our place for our sin. He doesn't see us as our sins deserve. And that is how we're sanctified through faith in Christ. So the first part of sanctification we need to understand is that we're set apart for God. We are made holy. We are brought into his family. And we're sanctified through faith in Christ. This being made holy is more than just relational, though, our relational status. We're also brought from death to life, and we're given a new nature, one that is freed from the chains of our sinful nature. And this links to the second aspect of sanctification. The second part of sanctification is that we're to become more like Jesus Christ for God's special purposes. Now that we're part of God's family, thinking back to that illustration, now that we're part of God's family, we're to live as a child of God. We are changed from what we were to what we are through faith in Jesus Christ. So we don't live according to our own desires that are sinful and that hurt God, but live according to God's desires, which are brought into us through his Spirit. And we know what these desires are through God's Word. And this is God's purpose for saving us. I just want you, if you have your Bibles again, to flick over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we'll be reading verses 3 to 7. First Thessalonians chapter 4. It's just before 2 Thessalonians, if you're looking for it. It says this. Chapter 4 from verse 3. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. So it's God's will that we should be sanctified. So we're made holy through faith in Christ, and we're being made holy according to God's will. And this is a lifelong, ongoing process. As God's children, through faith in Christ, we're becoming more like Jesus. So a brief summary of what sanctification means in the New Testament in relation to our salvation. We're set apart for God, that's a being made holy part, to become more like Jesus. Becoming more holy. Set apart for God to become more like Jesus. Does that make sense? Yep, one or two nods, that's all right, I'll take that. All right, so how are we set apart for God? It's good to consider these questions. And we've been talking about a lot, but we'll consider from God's Word how, through faith in Jesus, are we set apart for God. So I've got a couple passages up here. In John chapter 17, verses 17 to 19, this is Jesus' prayer. Just as before he's been betrayed, the soldiers are going to get him. This is pretty important and quite a special moment for us to have in God's Word. This is Jesus praying to the Father for his disciples. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. So these passages show us how God chooses to work in us by his Spirit to set us apart as we put our faith in the truth. The truth is what God uses to bring sinful people to himself. The truth is what sanctifies us, and the truth is God's Word. God works this truth into our hearts through his Spirit. Can you see that in those passages there? And of course, this links to the Word, the truth, the life. In John chapter 17, verse 19, as we see up there, we see how Jesus sanctified himself so that his disciples will be truly sanctified when they trust in him. Now, Jesus didn't need to be made holy. He was perfect. Rather, he gave himself over to God's special purpose for salvation. That's what he means by sanctify himself, giving himself over for God's special purpose, so that those who believe in him may be set apart for God. And how did Jesus do this? We've said it a lot, but we'll say it again, through his atoning death on the cross. And as we looked at briefly this morning in Hebrews chapter 10, around that passage, Hebrews gives us a great description of what Jesus' death did for us. So if you want to, again, if you have your Bibles, flick to Hebrews chapter 10. And we'll read verses 5 to 14. Chapter 10, verse 5 of Hebrews. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, 'Here I am, it is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God.'" First he said, "Sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, though they were offered in accordance with the law." Then he said, "Here I am, I have come to do your will." He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. So in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 to 14, we see that through the sacrificial death of Jesus, through the one sacrifice, he can make holy all those who trust in him. He has made them perfect in God's sight. Through faith in Jesus and his death, we're set apart for God as holy, and through this same faith, he enables us to become more holy, to become more like Jesus. We are set apart for God as he works in us through his Spirit, leading us to faith in the atoning death of Christ, who is the Word and truth of God. And this is what we believe, and this is what God works in us through his Spirit to set us apart for himself. This is how God brings us into his family, and this is how we're made holy. So how do we become more like Christ? Well, throughout the New Testament, we see many passages that describe this process of becoming more like Christ. What you will notice is that there's two parts. It's a two-part active process. We strive to become more like Jesus as God works in us through his Spirit to make us more like Christ. So both of us are working together. We learn what this looks like to be more like Christ through reading, through trusting, and through living out God's Word. This is how we know what it means to be more like Christ. And a great example of this is seen in Philippians. And even though the word sanctification isn't used, we see the process being described there. So firstly, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Again, if you want to read with me these verses. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this, that he, that is God, who began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So Paul's confident in the Philippians that the work that God began in them, to bring them to faith, to set them apart as holy, God will continue it on until Christ returns. Still in Philippians chapter 3, in Philippians, we'll look at chapter 3, verses 10 to 16. Now this is Paul speaking about his walk with the Lord. I want to know Christ, reading from verse 10 of chapter 3. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and the participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And so we see in these two things, Paul starts off the letter by declaring how he's confident that God will continue to work in them. And then he's saying, I haven't considered to have reached it yet, so I'm going to strive for it. So we see the two-part process of sanctification. Now, thankfully, if we want a really good idea about what sanctification means, how do I know I'm becoming more like Jesus? The Bible is really clear on what it looks like and what it doesn't look like. So we'll consider a couple of passages. Firstly, in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 17. So I say, walk by the Spirit, the same Spirit that's worked in us, works God's truth in our hearts. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do whatever you want. And then many of us will be familiar with the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And then again in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 to 24. That, however, is not the way of life you learned. When you heard about Christ Jesus, were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So to briefly summarize, becoming more like Christ is. God works in us, and we work to become more like Jesus. And we know what this looks like by God's word, and also through fellowship and through prayer. So sanctification, being set apart for God to become more like Jesus. But there is also this question of what are the special purposes God has set us apart for? Because the other part of sanctification is being set apart for his special purposes. Becoming more like Jesus for his special purposes. Now this can be a very big answer. I'm going to give you some basic principles that will hopefully guide you in your directions in life. So in Ephesians 2 verses 8 to 10, if you just want to flip there, it's just to the left of Philippians. It's important that we get this as well. For chapter 2 verses 8 to 10. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So here we see that we're saved through grace, by grace through faith in Jesus Christ who died for us, to do good works. So not works for our salvation, we get that, we've trusted in Jesus, we're saved. But in being saved, we're to do good works. Now it must be noted that there is no one good except God. So the good works are of God. Does that make sense? They are evidence of God working in us. Now these good works can take many forms and pathways, but basically it is loving God and loving others in whatever situation God has you in this point of life. Does that make sense? It is loving God and loving others in whatever situation God has you at this point in life. And this is part of becoming more like Jesus. You're learning how to live as Jesus would have lived in the situation God put you in. So this involves attending church, attending Bible studies, serving in the church, but extends out into your workplace, It extends out into your home, in the relationships you have with your family and with your friends. So the question to ask is, how would Jesus love God and love others in the circumstances you're in right now? Because they're the special purposes God has set you apart for. Well, it's good to hopefully get some clarity on the meaning of sanctification, but I want to think about some practical application. These are just a couple points. There are many more, but let's consider a couple things. As we're becoming more like Jesus, the first point is we should become more aware of our sinful nature and the nature of God within us by His Spirit. And since we strive to live in a way that pleases God, we'll find over and over again that left to ourselves to do this, we could not do it at all. So many of us can relate to Paul's struggle in Romans 7. I'll just look at verses 18 to 25. Bit of a read, but I'm sure as we read it, you'll understand the struggle that he's having. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good thing I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. The more we become more like Christ, the more we become aware of our sinful desires and actions. And this links to our good works. We become more aware that it is only God's sanctifying work in us that gives us a desire for good works. The second point, we'll have a hunger and desire for things of God. So we'll look at Psalm 42, verse 1 to 2. As a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? As we're becoming more like Jesus, we'll begin to delight and find pleasure in the things of God rather than the things of our sinful nature. We'll taste and see that the Lord is good. Every time we touch on the eternal truths of God, whether it be through a song, through a story, or through His Word, all these things connected to His Word, we'll find our soul being nourished. We'll find our thirst being satisfied. This doesn't mean that we will not struggle with sin. The Bible continually warns against sinful living for a reason. But we become more aware of how undesirable, how destructive, and how unsatisfying sin is. This is as we become more like Jesus. Our third point, we will find comfort in the midst of suffering. How's this so? Well, let's consider this passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. Paul has just been speaking about the hardships he's going through, how he's despairing and trusting in God, being forced to be able to throw himself on God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, what is unseen is eternal. So we will not always have a clear understanding about why God allows suffering, why He allows us to go through these difficult circumstances. All of us will go through hardships and challenges. But since we trust that God is good, that God is sovereign, then we can trust that what He is allowing to happen in our life is going to make us more like Jesus. It came out in our marriage seminar today, when you get married, the highest purpose of it is to be more holy. So sanctification, essentially. As you go through challenges together and you're forced to confront them because you're there right with each other, you can't run away from this, you will become more like Jesus. You see, when we go through challenges and hardships, it humbles us. It drives us to God. It teaches us what His strength and our weakness actually means. And as we see many times in the New Testament, suffering is a genuine part of being a Christian. Our Savior suffered for us. Paul's ministry was characterized by suffering. And here he can say words like this, for these light and momentary troubles. They're going through hardships, but we can trust that God is making us more like Jesus. And that is something that is eternal and lasting, as much as we want those situations to end. Fourth point, we'll become more caught up with God and His glory as we become more like Jesus. Suffering helps with this as well, because we start seeing what actually matters in this world. So in Psalm 115 verse 1, not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and faithfulness. Now here at Bassendean, we're blessed with many older people. And the beautiful thing about older people is they know what's really important in life. They've made decisions, good or bad, and they've learnt from them, good or bad. They've got to this point in their life where they realise what is really important in life. They're further along in the road to sanctification than we are. And often you see them caught up with a great love, a great delight in God and His glory. It's wonderful meeting old people like this who get this, who see what's really important. They see what is really important. And this is the natural result of dying to ourselves and our desires. In all this, we remember it's God's will for us to be sanctified. This will mean many situations, trials and struggles, times of peace, times of terror. But all this is for the purpose of making us more like Christ. So God's brought us to Himself through Jesus Christ by His Spirit, setting us apart, making us holy. And He's making us more like Jesus as we continue to strive to become more like Jesus. So again, just thinking of the brief summary description, set apart for God to become more like Jesus. And and as we see, there's some of the practical points. Well, we'll have some questions after this. I'll just close in prayer and then we'll consider a couple of questions. So will you pray with me? Father, I thank You that through faith in Jesus, we're right with You. We are made holy. We're set apart. I thank You as well, Father, that through faith in Jesus, You're making us more like Jesus each and every day. And what a joy and glory that is, and we praise You for it. Although this means that many of us go through trials and hardships, especially it's a characteristic of being a Christian, we just pray that You help us hold on to Christ. Through all these different things, may we desire You more. May we come to hate the sinful nature within us and just really hunger and thirst for Your truth. Father, help us to encourage one another to become more like Jesus, because we can't do this alone. We praise You that You've given us Your Word and Your Spirit, and thank You as well that You've given us brothers and sisters in Christ who we can continue to encourage one another to point ourselves, point our eyes, point our hearts to Jesus Christ and what He's done for us. Please give us wisdom with understanding this Word, Your wisdom, Father, through Your Spirit, and help us to see and be thankful as well for the work that You have already done. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.